You're listening to the Slavic Literature Pod, your shelf help guide to all things Slavic. I'm Cameron Lalana.
And I'm Matt Karasimovich.
And today we're covering part two, chapter 29 of Vasily Grossman's Life and Fate, covering entrance, so to speak, of Eichmann, who is on his way out to meet Liss, as we learned in the last chapter. And the majority of this chapter is spent on Eichmann's, on the narrator portraying Eichmann's youth, full of, frankly, failure and racial animus as a result of that, before briefly taking us on a kind of a viewing across the European continent of the tapestry of the myriad Jewish lives that were lived across the continent. Before returning to Eichmann one final moment. Is there anywhere in here that you'd like to start talking about fascism, I guess, or Eichmann or whatever the mentality we want to call this?
Yeah, I do, actually. There is, I think it doesn't have to just be about fascism. It can be about anything in the point that I'm about to say, which is just that I think a lot of times we assume that if you are at the top of some system, social, economic, political, that you have some inherent quality that really makes it so that you really deserve to be there. You've worked harder than someone. You have something inherent to you that might just be better than other people. And Grossman is showing us in this chapter that no, absolutely not. Eichmann is just really a pretty bland, boring bureaucrat that maybe through some savvy maneuvering was able to climb, but it has nothing to do with any inherent quality or any genius or brilliance. And I think that's what he was getting at with Liss in this last chapter as well, a little bit, but just that more than anything, he's kind of boring, and I think that we would all do well to remember that today, anytime someone is claimed to be just a great genius of our time, they're probably boring. They're probably not.
And even more than boring, someone who is, I hate calling people a mediocre. I really dislike that idea or that terminology, but like someone who is not rising, high, someone who's kind of hitting the middle ground there, doing okay, but feels that they should be doing better. In Eichmann's case, feels that he should be getting in these Berlin universities, should be getting that Berlin job, but he's not. They're instead, they are only, once they see his beautiful full face, his nice blonde crew cut, his short straight nose, they think, no, thank you. I want that person over there with those dark eyes and that hunchback in, quote, degenerates, right? What makes them degenerate? Why do they want them? Unclear, but that's not important. The thing is that he's too, far too good, and of course they don't want that. They want lesser things. You may really recognize this language. It's still very common today, because a lot of people need to feel better about the fact that they're not very good, and that's okay. You don't have to be good. I think we need to be more accepting of people who are not very good.
Yes. Pick something you suck at and just own it.
All of us are mostly not good at most things. It's fine. But some people feel that they should be getting that they should be good at it, or they should be thought to be good at it at the very least. They should be getting rewarded for that fact. That's what we have with Eichmann. And this point will really get reinforced with tomorrow, where, even Liss is kind of like, this isn't, even Liss doesn't even understand Eichmann's resentment here, because Liss is like, hey, we'll talk more about it. Like, wish I'd seen you more at university. And Eichmann kind of stares at him and is like, no, I went to a provincial university. So in today's post, I kind of mentioned that, he's fighting for the Volk, for Germany. And the thing is that he's not fighting for anyone but himself. Other Germans don't even notice the same thing he's talking about, right? Liss and Eichmann are at the exact same rank. Liss is by all regard, as the text tells us, very well liked. Thought of as an intelligent man, went to high schooling, doesn't understand the slightest the exact form of racial animus that Eichmann is expressing in his youth. But it's this sort of unhappiness, this desire that society should be rewarding me regardless of what I'm putting into it, that is then turned to, well, then why am I not getting that? And well, of course, it can't be the great German state. I mean, this is my state. It must be these obscure nationalities, these Italians, these Poles, these Jews. You know, they are the, who are they? They're the urbanites. They're the intellectuals. They have all this cultural power. They're scientists. And yet at the same time, despite having all the heights of this power, they're also crude and primitive. They're not creating the right kind of morally righteous art that, you know, this German people should be. In fact, they're not Germans.
Who was that group that you said? Poles? Never heard of them.
Well, that's right. Excuse me. I forgot that in Matt's presence, we don't acknowledge Poles.
No, I do. I just thought it was so funny that those were like the examples of obscure nationalities.
I mean, to be fair, but like 1945, when Italy had just been incorporated, when did Italy become a state? It was like not that long ago.
I'm not going to answer you with a year.
That's fair.
Cameron, I only have an international relations degree. Please don't expect me to know things. I could probably see a lot of parallels between the mentality that Eichmann has and that sort of resentment that is really just so not quite under the surface, boiling over onto the surface, and so much of that kind of disaffected group that exists today. That mentality has not changed and has not gone away. And that is a scary group to be around.
And you know, and then we have this sort of this angry middling attitude, or this angry middling talent, compared up against the narrator takes us on this tour of Europe and this rich tapestry of life, and you know, encompasses everything from people living in the slums. It includes thieves, it includes idiots, and it includes doctors and tradesmen and contemplatives. And this is why, going back to when I said I don't like using this term, like someone's a mediocre person, because I don't really believe in that idea. This is something that when the narrator takes us on this flight, there's an embrace of the mere fact of humanity itself, containing all sorts of people, the upright and the probably someone of Eichmann's exact same intelligence and achievement in life, right? Like it's exact same sort of middling person who did not marshal that same success into violent racial animus. And it really hammers home this sort of, like, I think earlier in the book, I forget who it is, criticizes individualism and as like a parallel to some element of Stalinist society. And I think this is really bringing that home of like the pure individualistic ideology, where it's all about you and yourself, dressed up in the language of you and your people, your Volk, whatever that means, up against an embrace of just in existence itself, good and bad, all contained within it.
Yeah, it was, I would say, a very interesting chapter. It was one of those chapters from Grossman where it kind of reaches out and grabs you and shakes you and say, hey, you get why this is important still? And you have those every once in a while. I mean, they're all important in their own ways, but there are some that really slap you across the face with the way that, like you were saying in our Discord, just that it like literally is the same language that's being used. There's nothing that's different about it. And maybe it would be less surprising from reading somebody more from our own context, but to see our Cold War enemy, right, on the other side of the Iron Curtain, using this exact same language that still persists, is maybe that's what makes it a little more jarring.
Yeah.
If you're still into like Cold War enemies.
Man, a lot of people are.
Yeah. Well, it sells, I'll tell you that.
It definitely sells. It
really does. And maybe that's what's most important.
Well, at the end of the day, I think that's right. How high is the profit margin? I think we can all agree on that. I also wanted to bring in, you should check out Discord if you're not already in it. One of our listeners, Reagan, shared a comic, a New Yorker comic, which was a great, as Reagan says, perfectly chosen for today, or perfectly relevant to have stumbled across today. And two guys are in a bar, and one says to the other, it's so hard to get a job as a white man with a terrible personality these days. It's good to know that attitude has always been with us.
Yeah, it is tough for us these days.
Speak for yourself. I'm part of the dark suspicious masses. I just get a promotion after promotion, and that's why I work the glorious weekend and evening shift.
Yes, and I am envious of you for that.
Well, actually, wait, hold on. You're Italian. That makes you part of the dark suspicious
Yeah, no,
masses.
well, no, I don't think so. I think I'm the more obscure nationality, rather.
Yeah, that's right.
I'm obscure. You don't even notice me. I've never really been
That's right.
there.
When I look at Matt, I can't even see him. I'm just seeing some obscure nationality, really.
Yes, that last name, Gerasimovich, very Italian.
Very
Yes.
Italian. Don't go anywhere near Eichmann. A Slavic Italian would blow his top.
Yeah, you don't want to know what he'd do. That's gonna get several more chapters based out of that. Slavic, I know, but this word, what is it you said? Italian.
All right, let's wrap it up there before I don't know what we're gonna lead into, and I don't want to guess while we're still recording.
It off. Microphone's off.
Microphone, yeah. We're not gonna have a hot mic incident when we control what we record, edit, and upload. We
Yeah,
might
Cameron's
still,
about to have his the Jinx incident
but. All right. Well, I'm gonna cut us off here, and you'll hear from us again, talking about a similar topic, interestingly expanded tomorrow.